We're standing by for Jerry Jones. It'll be brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Whoop, whoop. And I believe we have him now. Mr. Jones, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. And it's a great Friday, getting ready to go to practice. And so we're just getting ready for these Miami Dolphins. You know, I'm a little amused sometimes when I hear about all these point spreads. I'm not even supposed to use point spread, but when I hear about these point spreads, and I do remember that most of the guys we're going to be playing Sunday for Miami are players that we would have wanted on the Cowboys. That when they were coming out in the draft, when they have been at various stages of their career, most of them are that, and that's the NFL. You're usually playing guys, you're playing players that are same caliber of players that you're lining up with them against.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why it's tough to figure all that stuff out. Those games usually end up being closer than you thought, but there is a lot of talk out there about tanking, and the NBA has ways to deal with that. Do you have any thoughts on how you guys could handle tanking in the NFL?
No, I don't, it just goes against the nature of what you try to do in so many ways. You don't play as many games as you do in other sports, and so every game means so much. And just put it this way, it'll be a percent of somebody's career or a player's career. And so the idea that you wouldn't go out there and be at your tops, play at your tops, be at your competitive best, put the team out there, just is so against anything that your whole structure's about. I don't see real tanking. Now you say, well, you just don't play them. How about if you get to the playoffs, you're in, and you don't want to play those players? Well, you can do it just simply by not putting them out there. But because of the limited amount of players you've got to play a football game, that's hard to do as well.
You know, bringing that up, Jerry, you guys are in collective bargaining agreement talks now. There's talks about expanding the season, some of the things like that. You know the stories that are out there. Do you foresee, if you guys go in that direction, for all the reasons you just laid out, expanding the roster significantly?
No, I don't. I think that you can probably make available more of your practice squad players. There's a way to increase that viability as it brings on. That's the bottom of your roster. And, of course, for you fans who aren't quite as familiar with the practice squad, it's a group of 10 players that you have restrictions to bring up and back off your main roster. But every time you do, you expose them to, as a matter of fact, they're exposed anyway, but you note that they're at least good enough to have played in a game. So you probably expose them to the overall other 31 teams. But I see some tinkering around in that area, and I don't want to use that word cavalierly, but I see that we're talking about several things that might adjust that. That might create a little better roster viability during the season.
Jerry, obviously things didn't work out with Taco. He's now a Miami Dolphin, and you guys have drafted exceedingly well, so nobody's really out there throwing shade at your scouting and drafting and development. It is just odd that you guys did miss on this first-round pick. What would you say you guys missed in your evaluation of Taco?
Well, first of all, I agree with you. It's a miss, and you can't have your number one draft pick but 3 years later for talent reasons or for compatibility reasons just not make it. I think we've always got to realize that the motivation, we depend on motivation. The game does. The game's exciting because it requires something more than just talent. You've got to be unique to even play in the NFL, talent standpoint, but still, it requires extended motivation. When you're in the defensive line, it asks for more of you than the other positions in terms of being motivated, in terms of fighting through. Just the nature of the activity in the defensive line suggests fighting through. But you're usually fighting through pain. You're fighting through really serious obstacles called those big offensive linemen. And so that you've got to absolutely be eating raw meat to be a defensive lineman in my mind. And you get there a lot of different ways. Individuals do it a lot of different ways. But for whatever the reason, that area of Taco, and it had as much to do with his own disappointment, his own feeling that he can do better. I've seen him do a rep at practice, saw it this year, training camp. And when he didn't get there, he just wilted. It just looked like it impacted everything that he was going to do for the rest of the practice. And you say, well, I can correct that if you're a coach, or I can correct that if you're a manager. But on the other hand, you've got to get it done. Well, how that is done, how he deals with that, that can be in the future. Tom Landry used to say, don't ever give up on a defensive lineman for 3 years.
But then
period of time. So that's pretty much it. I think maybe a change of scenery is the answer.
Okay, so Jerry, that seems to me to be one of the most difficult things to scout, the intangible of not knowing how someone is going to deal with that inevitable failure that happens when you first get to the league. How do you scout that?
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, I may not have gotten the last part of that question, but most of the time, if they're lined up in those spots, that's a given that they're going to just be from a mental standpoint, and they approach it different ways, but that they're going to be mentally driven, going to be goal-oriented, and they get a lot of wins out of having a technique work for them, and they can get kept away from the quarterback, but they can still have a win. You got to work mind games to do that, and maybe Taco will get there someday.
Jerry, holding calls are up significantly. I read this morning they're up like 66% from this time last year through the first 2 weeks. Last night, Tom Brady tweeted that he had to check out of the game because the refs were ruining it for him. Troy Aikman on the broadcast seemed to be just beaten down by all the holding calls. Why are there so many more holding calls, and do you think it's hurting the game through the first 2 weeks?
I don't have a reason. I think we're pretty grounded in what a hold can be, and when it's meaningful, and what it looks like when you actually throw that flag, and there's no doubt about it. It always has been one of the more subjective, believe it or not, subjective areas. And you're allowed to grab. You're allowed to. It's the length of time you hold on in many cases. Or you're allowed to let those limbs get out there, curl around, but then you need to have demonstrated that you move back away from it as the next instances of the play occur. All of those kinds of things are judgment. And I know that it's real important to us that we come to common ground with our officials that just what we're trying to get done out there, and that is we're trying to put a game on, and the continuity of the game, unless there's injury potential involved, and make a case holding can lead to more injury, but that's probably a little bit of a reach in that particular area. We've got to really come back with an overall appreciation for what the continuity of the game means to really performance levels. And would agree, we've always continually looked at this area, this interior line play especially. And we've always measured that and always had a debate there with it. Maybe we swung too far.
Yeah, people don't like punts and people don't like penalties. So I guess the other question is, is pass interference and is holding, are those penalties too punitive? Do you guys need to change that?
Well, we've always had a punitive pass interference when you take the ball to the point of the foul.
Right.
That is punitive relative to college. And it certainly opens the game up. But there are many ways to with rule and certainly penalty calling that you can dictate how the game is played. I'll never forget one that wasn't necessarily with penalties, but the great Lamar Hunt used to want a smaller roster size because players played tired more. And certainly they got tired quicker, or they were tired at the end of the game. That's when you have bigger plays. It's a more exciting game when you're playing with tired. So he was almost for a two-way, without talking to Lamar, he was almost for a two-way player because it made for a more exciting game. You get into a lot of different nuances when you start thinking about how you're going to officiate. But anyway, I guess I was talking about Lamar Hunt, and he was always for basically reducing the roster size because players had to play both ways, potentially, and they got tireder, and when you're tired, you have big plays, more exciting game. So there was a way to look at it.
No doubt. That's a good way to look at it. We're talking to Jerry Jones on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Hey, I want to get your thoughts as a marketer. You're one of the greatest marketers on the planet. And so let's say that you get a big contract worked out with Dak, or let's just call it, say you get a contract worked out with Dak. And we're not saying one's worked out, but when would be the best time to announce that? Would it be on a Sunday? How does that it work with the NFL news cycle, in your expert opinion?
I think that we've always thought that Friday was a day to basically have lesser viewers. This Saturday, the early part of the weekend, is when you don't have as much attention. But that's the best I can do there. For the most part, when the Cowboys are involved in it, it usually gets out there. And, of course, the new way, not the new way, but the social media way of communicating and creating information, creating ways to present the information, that's changed the whole game. And so I really don't have any thoughts there. I like them all. I wouldn't want to waste any day ultimately in this day and time, because it bleeds over into the next day, or it has a way of bleeding over into the next week. So once it's out there, you're going to get a lot of people aware of it. The Cowboys don't have that issue.
Jerry, it seems like your defensive line is a little dinged up right now. The Tyrone Crawford news about his hips. Are you guys worried at all about your line and level of play at the defensive line right now?
Well, we came out of training camp. First of all, we went to training camp with more players than we've ever had at the defensive line position. And then we came out of training camp with some great players, and I'm starting to say prospects, but great players. And so as unlikely as it is, when you start having an injury or two, it's usually where you don't have your depth. Well, with us, we're deep in the defensive line. We're deep with guys that can play. That had a lot to do with our decision with Charlton, simply because we've got such depth there, and we think help is on the way. And we've got some guys that aren't playing other than Charlton that are capable of playing in a winning way in NFL games right now. And so we're in good shape there.
So yesterday, Dak was wearing boots in the locker room, and we thought we'd like to talk to you about things that aren't really sports-related. So what is your strategy when it comes to wearing boots, and how many pairs do you have, and when do you wear those pairs?
Well, I did notice that Dak had a new pair of boots, and I thought that was a great story that went with it. But years ago, I had boots that I had before I bought the Cowboys, and I love to wear them. And they're pretty stylish, too. And I've always kept my boots. And when I first got to town 30 years ago, almost every time I'd speak, well, I'd get presented with a pair of boots. And many of them were really done in a neat way. They'd have a special feature on them that had something to do with the Cowboys. So over the years, I've accumulated a fabulous collection. I don't think I could start wearing cowboy boots almost by the day, and I believe I'd be June before I wore the same boot twice.
Still, Jerry, having said that, have you ever been jealous of another man's boots?
Of course. Of course. I'm asking people all the time, where did you get those boots? Who made those? Or how did you get them? And it makes me feel good. I'm asked where I got the boots that I have on. And I'm a big cowboy boot fan. I wear them with dress clothes. I wear them every way you can think of.
And we also have we know you're up against it time wise. We also love talking to you guys about hot dogs. Y'all love hot dogs, don't you? You guys love hot dogs. We love hot dogs. So
absolutely.
What's your absolutely. What's the best hot dog you ever had? And what's your personal hot dog strategy? How do you make them?
Well, we've gone from boots to hot dogs. There's got to be a connection in here someplace. I don't want to know what's coming up next. I do know that I don't know that I would have been here for my time in sports and my time going to games. I know it would have been without a hot dog, but it would have been a lot less important to me. But I love hot dogs. I'm going to a high school game tonight and eat one of the best hot dogs at Highland Park Stadium that you'll ever eat. And but you know, they just like everything else, they come in all sizes and all flavors. And I'm bigger. I guess if I were going to critique something, it would be the bun. I don't like much bun. And so when I see a great bun treatment, that does impress me. In the New York Yankees, George Steinbrenner's and now Hal Steinbrenner in the family's box. And I get to go up there for a World Series, or I get to go up there for an opening day if it hits right. They have the neatest bun warmer. And those hot dogs are almost as thin as the thin slices of bread that you can get if you're not trying to eat a lot of bun or bread. So, boy, they do a great job with that. And it's just almost like a folded slice of bread. And they put that on there, and I bet every time I bite into one, I say, well, boy, I just picture George Steinbrenner biting into this one.
Oh, it's awesome.
That's great. Well, Jerry, unfortunately, we ran out of time before we could talk about mustaches, but maybe we'll get to that next week. Thank you for the time. Have a great weekend. Hey, we'll talk to you later, man.
You know the old adage about mustaches, letting something grow tame around your mouth that goes wild around your is not necessary.
Jerry, we love you. We wish these interviews were an hour long each time. Thanks for your time, brother. We appreciate it.
We'll see you guys.